Every great painting begins with a blank canvas. We look at the canvas, it looks empty, unfinished, undefined, nothing's there. But to the artist, the canvas is full of possibility. Every brush stroke adds meaning. Every color tells a story. Just watch this painter at work, stroke by stroke, color by color. The image emerges. And at the end, the word that was highlighted was peace. That brings us to a question that we've been asking every week during this series, and that question is, what are you painting on your canvas? You have a life. You have a spiritual life. What are you painting on that life? Imagine your life was on display in an art gallery, and somebody steps back to take a look at that piece of art that's your life on display. They look at your words, they can see your reactions, they can see your relationships. What would they see taking shape as they look at your canvas? Would they see peace? Or would they see anxiety, anger, conflict, hurry, worry, fear? What would they see if they looked at your life? Well, today, as we close the Advent season, we're going to turn our attention to this subject of peace, not as a vague feeling, but as something that God intentionally paints in the world through Jesus Christ. Now, I invite you to listen to the shepherd story. And there were shepherds in fields nearby keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Well, this isn't just a birth announcement. It's an unveiling. It's an unveiling of God's masterpiece. Here's the big idea that we're working on today. Peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of Christ. The Prince of Peace paints peace in three ways: vertically, horizontally, and eternally. So that's how we're going to do things today. That's how we're going to let this unfold. Peace between God and man has to be the first thing, that vertical peace that we get. I mean, before God paints peace on the world, he paints it in a human heart. What did the angels proclaim when they came to see the shepherds? What did they say? They said, "Peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased." Well, that's a proclamation, and it assumes something important. It assumes that peace is not our default condition. It's not where we start. We need the peace. That's why it's coming. Something is broken. Something is fractured. And we could say that the sin that is in our lives has torn the canvas. The relationship between God and humanity is marked by distance, not by closeness. We're not automatically born close to God. There is, you know, what develops along the way, this spirit in us, this sin nature, we call it, and it produces things over the years of our lives like guilt and rebellion. And no amount of external peace can fix that eternal separation from God because of sin. And that's why Isaiah's prophecy matters so deeply. We've read those words this morning. He tells us that a child is going to be born, a son who will be given. And among his titles is this one, Prince of Peace. Not peace negotiator, not peace consultant, Prince of Peace. Peace doesn't arrive as a concept. Peace arrives as a person. And so through Jesus, God begins repainting what sin has damaged. The cross becomes the decisive brushstroke in the masterpiece, where hostility is covered by grace and separation is replaced with reconciliation. It's where the painting is done, really. Our sin is forgiven. Romans 5:1 says that through faith we are justified. Well, you know, sometimes we tell, especially when we're trying to explain that to kids, but it works for me as an adult, is it's justified means it's just as if we never sinned. You know, that's a good way to explain it. When we put our faith in Jesus, believing what he did for us on the cross, believing in his resurrection, believing that he's the Son of God, we're made innocent before God so that we can have a relationship with God himself. And Paul says in Romans, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're justified by faith, Scripture tells us we have peace with God. Peace with God. So this vertical peace, this first peace is necessary before anything else. Vertical peace is the foundation layer of the painting. I like how they did the painting this morning. You know, all of the color there on the canvas, and then as the canvas lays there, then the words just appear. I thought that was kind of beautiful. Vertical peace is that foundation layer of the painting. Without it, every other attempt at peace is just surface detail. It doesn't get to it. Until peace is painted vertically between God and us, it can't last horizontally or eternally. It doesn't work. So that's the first part. The second part is peace between people, or horizontal peace. You know, we have the vertical peace, and then we have the horizontal peace. You know, when we use the word, you know, peace on earth to men of goodwill, you know, there's the scripture. When the scripture uses men, it's really talking about humanity, talking about mankind. Once peace is painted into our relationship with God, it starts to show up in how we relate to each other. The angels declared peace on earth. Now, that's not sentimental language. It's a bold claim. It's a big claim in a very divided world. And we're familiar with that, aren't we? Our world knows conflict, doesn't it? I mean, families fracture. Communities divide. Nations rage. Even people who share faith can struggle to live at peace with one another. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. But Scripture tells us that Jesus himself is our peace. He breaks down the dividing walls. He brings together what hostility is pushed apart. Paul says in Romans, it is possible, or if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Well, that's a big order, isn't it? Bonnie and I started watching the TV series Dark Winds the other night. It's based on Tony Hillerman's books about the Navajo Nation, and I've read all of them, and the series is quite well done. It's about the Navajo police force. And the Navajo have a core concept that they express every time somebody leaves them, even if it's only for a short time. They say it in a farewell. The expression is, walk in beauty. Now, what that means is to live in harmony or balance with yourself, with your community, and with nature. Now, it's to them a positive focus on living with inner peace and right relationships. Now, you already know a similar concept, the word shalom. You know, the Jewish word shalom, Hebrew word. Jews use it as a greeting, but they also use it as a farewell. So you can get shalom as you come and shalom as you go. We think of shalom as peace, but among other things, it wishes you a very deep, flourishing, all-encompassing, inner peace, and harmonious relationships. And that's all wrapped up in that word shalom. Peace between people doesn't mean we don't have disagreements. It's going to happen. But peace between people does mean the presence of three things: humility, forgiveness, and love, shaped by Christ. Now, this is where the painting metaphor gets kind of personal. I mean, every conversation is a kind of brushstroke on that canvas. Every reaction adds color to it. Every choice either brings clarity or adds chaos. Some of us have been painting with some rather harsh colors, with anger, with bitterness, with resentment. And Jesus invites us to clean the brush. I don't know if you know you need to do that when you're painting. As you change colors, as you do different parts of the canvas. When we were on vacation, Bonnie and I, we were staying in Atlantic City, and they had all kinds of recreational activities that were offered. And my brother-in-law, Scott, and his wife convinced me to take a painting class with them. Now, if you know me, you know that, you know, I may love art, but I'm not particularly good at it. But I had fun trying. And because it was fall, we picked a nighttime scene with a pumpkin and a tree and a big harvest moon, and I brought my art here to show you. I didn't put it up on the screen because it's better seen at a distance, but this was my painting. This was my piece, you know? And I will tell you that my lines are blurred and the colors run together. I call it my expressionist mood. And it's a good thing that we were working in acrylics, because I think I got more on me than I got on the canvas. At one point, my brother-in-law is doing this to my shirt, and I'm going, "Why'd you do that?" I look down, there's this big blotch on my shirt. He's, no, I'm pointing out that you've got paint on you. He didn't do it, I did that. Well, I had to clean my brush frequently, and I had to do a lot of restarts and fix lines and edges and such. And I had to paint over areas that I had messed up as I went along the way. But Jesus invites us to clean our brushes. To clean our brushes and to repaint the damaged relationships that we have with grace. If Christ has painted peace in our hearts, that peace should begin to show up on the canvas of our relationships. Amen? And that's the horizontal part. Christ paints us vertically, restore our relationship with God, horizontally to bring peace into our relationships with another. And he paints us eternally. And he's painting peace. Even with Christ, we know the painting is not quite finished. And what do I mean by that? Well, we still live in a world where peace is very fragile. We live in a world where we experience loss. We go through suffering. We still struggle. Advent reminds us that we live in the middle ground, this space in between God's promise and the fulfillment of that promise. You know, it's between now and not quite yet. It's begun with the coming of Christ. It will be completed with the return of Christ. We wait for Jesus to return. Isaiah tells us that the peace of Christ's kingdom will have no end. None. One day, the painting is going to be complete. No more broken lines, no more dark shadows, no more repainting, nothing will need correction. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." The final image will be peace. Perfect, unchallenged, eternal peace. This future forever peace, it shapes how we live right now, too. I mean, when the present feels messy, we can trust the artist. We were talking about grief in our Bible for Life class this morning, and how do you help people going through grief at this time of year? How do we go through grief at this time of year? Because it often does bring grief and sorrow, depending on the relationships. You know, my mother was dying at Christmas one year, and it sticks with me. And it often, you know, her birthday kind of came around on December the 15th, and, you know, it just brings back to mind that time. You know, there's things, if you've had somebody who has died at this time of the year, it's hard for you. Talked about sorrow last week, that it can coexist with joy, that it's there sometimes together. But when the present is messy and painful and hurtful, we can trust the artist. We can trust in God that he knows what he's doing. When all the colors seem wrong, I think we can trust that the final design has already been decided. God already knows what each of us are going to become, who we're going to be in the end. And you know, God does not abandon unfinished canvas. And please try to remember that when you're feeling frustrated with yourself, and I have sometimes great struggle with chastising myself for things I've said or done or even thought that should have, you know, sometimes I think I should always have the right answer, and I don't for sure. Sometimes I think, like, you know, I should always be doing the right thing, and I don't always. And I get frustrated with myself for not being where I feel God wants me to be. You ever feel like that? But God does not abandon unfinished canvases. And he's not finished with us yet. But one day you will be finished. You will be complete. You will be perfect. God is still painting your portrait. One of my favorite expressions is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. In the NIV it says, "We are God's workmanship." But there's more of a thrust there that it's bigger than what it says. The Greek word here is poema. In English, we get the word poem from this same word that we translate workmanship in this place. Did you know that you're God's poem? Did you know that? But there's a greater meaning behind it. What it really means is that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. That's what that means. And that's what God is creating in you by his peace. The peace that you have with him. The peace that you can have with others. And the peace that you're going to have eternally if you receive him as your Lord and your Savior. I mean, that's a peace we can have starting right now. Today. In a few minutes, we're going to be praying together, and you can pray to receive him or to restore your relationship with him at any time. What are you painting on your canvas? This week, how can you paint peace? Well, I'm going to suggest a few ways here. First of all, we have to paint peace in our relationship with God. I mean, we can do that through prayer, by talking to God about our lack of peace. It's okay to talk about God about the things we don't have. You can do that through surrender, by surrendering your whole life to God. Give God your whole life. Don't hold things back. And you can do that through trust. Let Christ rule where anxiety has taken over. Now, you know, I struggle sometimes with anxiety, and this is a place I have to really work on. Trusting God that God's got my back. God's got this. God's looking after it. I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. God's got this. But I have to bring that to God in prayer constantly. and Christ can rule. Second thing I want to suggest is paint peace in your relationships with others. Sometimes it's harder than it sounds. I mean, you might need some help to get through this. Maybe you need help with a counselor or help from your pastor or help from a trusted friend to help you to paint peace with others. You know, and in that process of you know, we are called to reconciliation. It's one of the callings given to all Christians. And we're to initiate reconciliation. We're not to just wait for the other person. You're bringing your gift to the altar and you know that somebody has something against you, then go and deal with it before you finish that offering. Now, that's what it says. Initiate reconciliation. Sometimes that's very hard, I know. But one of the ways we do this is by choosing forgiveness. And remember, forgiveness is not a feeling. The feeling comes afterwards, or it may never come. Choosing to forgive is a decision. And if you think today that it's okay to be that one who always holds a grudge, then maybe you need to take that to the Lord. Or if, well, let's go back to grudges for a second. Holding grudges, let's be honest, is sinful and harmful. And there's a good reason the scripture says not to let the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. The longer unforgiveness is held, the deeper the roots go. That's not healthy for us. And you can speak words that restore rather than divide. And that's very important given today's social and political climate, isn't it? I mean, we're so polarized right now. We are seeing people as us and them, two separate camps. When people who think differently for us, or from us rather, we sometimes brand them as the enemy. When we do that, there's a problem. The only true enemy we have is Satan. Isn't that true? Now, this isn't about having lovey-dovey feelings for everybody. It's not about taking the bait, being dragged into camps and tribes. It's about choosing to love. The third thing I want to suggest is paint peace through hope-filled living. It goes all the way back to the beginning of our Advent stuff. We need to live with confidence that God is still at work and that the final image is peace. You know, the angels didn't announce a ceasefire when they came. They announced a Savior. And it's only through peace with God, through Jesus, that the real peace can be experienced on a much broader scale. But God is still at work, and we are a part of what God is doing in the world. Sharing God's peace is our mission, isn't it? Isn't that what it's about? Outreach. Outreach. When we lose sight of that, we lose our way. The church ceases being the church. I pray as Advent comes to a close this week that the Prince of Peace will continue painting his masterpiece in each one of us. And that masterpiece will someday clearly reflect him in all his glory. Heavenly Father, we want to ask you for peace. We want peace with you. And as we come before you, we open our hearts to you right now. I ask you to come into my life in a full and fresh way. Be my Lord and Savior. I need your peace. Please paint your peace in my life. Forgive my sins. Forgive those times where I've chosen to provoke conflict instead of choosing your peace. Lord, I've decided to live for you. Make me a peacemaker in sharing you with others. And help me to avoid the temptation to be pulled into needless arguments and factions. Bring healing to my relationships with others. Show me how I can facilitate that. I look forward to the day when your peace will be full and eternal. I give my whole heart to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.